Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Today, we are going to be speaking about Israel in Africa and Israel as an indigenous nation in the land of Israel, and particularly in the heartland of Judea and Samaria. We're going to have three very, very special guests. Last week, I was in Africa. I was invited to speak at an Israel Independence Day 70 for Israel event in Nairobi, in Kenya, for Africa Israel Initiative. And I came out there to Africa, to Kenya, and spoke at this event, and it was really inspiring, and it was a great networking opportunity to meet with representatives from 14 African countries who support Israel, and together we are going to work to improve the relations between these nations and Israel, and hopefully move all of their embassies to our capital, Jerusalem, but also to get their governments to recognize Israel's sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. So my guests today are going to be, and the big surprise is that on my way home from Nairobi, Kenya, on my way home for Shabbat, I got stuck in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And I was not able to return for Shabbat to my home in Israel. And through an amazing chain of events, I was able to connect with the Jewish community who are waiting to make Aliyah. And I spent the Shabbat with them in their synagogue, the entire Shabbat. It was just it must be Hashem's work that this happened, because I planned to be at home for Shabbat, but I wound up bonding with this amazing community who are waiting to reunite with the Jewish people. So I'm going to speak with a representative of this community, a young man who is a student and scholar and activist for the community and for young Africans, and he's really an amazing man. I'll be speaking with him, and I'll be speaking with two different guests who visited in the Shamron, one an African, Bishop Scott Mwanza from Zambia, and with a chief and Dr. Riverwind, who are indigenous American people. And they too visited in the Shamron. We're going to speak about those connections and about visiting in the Shamron and what that means for them. So stay tuned for a really exciting show. And in the meantime, send the link to your friends so they can enjoy it too. We're taking a short break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. Shalom, and welcome back to the Heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. I am really glad myself to be back in the Heartland of Israel. Last week, I had the most amazing trip to Africa, and some really unexpected events occurred there. I was invited to Kenya, to Nairobi, to take part in a conference in honor of Israel's 70th anniversary. And I intended on going to Nairobi, speaking at the conference, and coming back home for Shabbat. But my flight was delayed, and unexpectedly, I got stuck in Addis Ababa for Shabbat, because the next flight that they could send me out would land on Shabbat, so I could not take that flight, and I had to rearrange my plans and stay in Addis Ababa for Shabbat. So this coincidence or chain of events led to my meeting with the Jewish community who is still in Ethiopia, who are waiting to make Aliyah. And I contacted them through my friend Ezri Tubi, who recently visited Ethiopia and visited this community, and he gave me a lead. So I called a young fellow in the community whose name is Abare Indisau, who is a student, and he speaks fluent Hebrew and fluent English. I sent him a WhatsApp message, and he gave me their location. I switched hotels to be near them, and he sent over a teenager who is the leader of the Bnei Akiva in their community. Ketesau came to meet me, and he led me to the synagogue of the community and showed me their Bnei Akiva club. And then I got ready for Shabbat and just had an amazing Shabbat, attending prayers in the community's synagogue for the entire Shabbat. So right now, we're going to speak with the Abere and hear about the plight of this community who are waiting to make Aliyah, to move to Israel and to join the nation of Israel, to reunite with the people of Israel.
My name is Abere Indisau, and I'm 23. I'm from the Ethiopian Jewish community in Addis Ababa. I'm a software engineering student in Addis Ababa University, and in my community, I'm involved in a young Jewish leadership team, a team organized for the capacity building in the community and for a struggle for our Aliyah. 2,000 years ago, the Ethiopian Jews were living in Ethiopia, scattered all over the villages. And for 27 years ago, there was a massive Aliyah when the two operations, Operation Moses and Operation Solomon, for the Ethiopian Aliyah. And then after that, there was a small number of immigrants who were absorbed from Ethiopia and to go to our promised land, Israel. But the struggle for the Ethiopian Aliyah has never been easy. Now in Ethiopia, there are around 8,000 Ethiopian Jews who are waiting to return to the promised land, Israel. In Addis Ababa, there are around 3,000 Ethiopian Jews who are still waiting to make Aliyah. And in Gondar, northern part of Ethiopia, more than 4,000 Ethiopian Jews live together and are still waiting to return to the promised land, Israel.
Abare, what can you tell our listeners about life for the Jewish community in Addis Ababa?
My community will grow up learning Torah, and all the families live according to the Torah. Life in Addis Ababa is really challenging. Addis Ababa is the capital of Ethiopia, and then all the Jewish people who are residing in Addis Ababa immigrated from Gondar only for one mission and vision: to return to the land of Israel. So we didn't have our land, we didn't have our properties with us. So economically, it's a disadvantaged community in relative to the others. And in terms of religion, there's a higher stigma from the other community. Despite all of this, the community managed to teach the children the importance of learning Torah and the importance of knowing the Jewish culture.
Abare, when I arrived near your community, you were at work, and on Friday afternoon, you sent a young man, who is 16 or 17 years old, and he is the leader of the Bnei Akiva organization in your community. His name is Gaseto. And please tell us about the Bnei Akiva and about the Torah learning in your community. What do you base the Torah learning on? We're really interested to hear more about that.
The community, we have a Ben Akiva program and a Torah lesson program. In the Ben Akiva, we teach the children Hebrew and the tradition of Israel and the Jewish people. In the Torah lesson, we download all the courses from Chabad.org and we teach each other. And during the summertime, volunteers from Israel, they come to assist the community in speaking Hebrew. But when the volunteers left, all the responsibilities relies in the hands of the Ben Akiva members. The Ben Akiva members teach themselves Hebrew each other. We speak Hebrew together so that we can improve our knowledge, so that we will be able to speak when we arrive in Israel. In such a way, we can make the life of the Ethiopian Jews easy when the time comes to return to our promised land, Israel.
Barre, you are not just a young leader within the Jewish community, but you are also a student in the university and active in international affairs in Africa and elsewhere. Please tell us about your activism in the university and in the international community.
My university, I'm the executive director of a youth initiative called Youth Alliance for Leadership and Development in Africa. And with this, I'm working in the African Union Youth Division as an advocacy of the AU policies and plans to all youth organizations to the 54 member states of the African countries. With my position, I have traveled to many African countries and to European countries to advocate the AU policies and to plan strategies for the youth in Africa.
Last Friday morning, I found myself stranded in Addis Ababa. I know no one in the city. And through a mutual contact, I got your contact information and I reached out to you. What was your feeling on hearing from an Israeli who found himself in Ethiopia for Shabbat?
It was just an ordinary day while I was walking to go to work. I was halfway to my work when I suddenly get a message from David saying that he would like to attend a Shabbat ceremony in my community. I was really surprised. And then I went back from my work to book him a hotel near the community. And the community was also really surprising. It is really unexpected. A guy from Israel searching for his brothers and sisters and to praise the Lord and to holify the day with the community. It was amazing. I will never forget this day. We had a wonderful time with David. And then it shows that as a Jewish people, we have this beautiful heart to wish and to be with fellow Jews. This is a great opportunity and a miracle that even if we are different in colors, we're one in our heart.
Barre, by coincidence, on Sunday, the day after I visited with your community, you had a visit from a very high-ranking Israeli minister from the government of Israel. Please tell us about that.
Sunday, the Israeli Justice Minister, Ayeli Shakid, a very powerful woman, she came to visit the Ethiopian Jewish community in Addis Ababa. The community was really excited because we know they're aware that she has a tremendous potential and a tremendous influence on the decision of the government of Israel. During her visit, the president of the community and the youth from the community spoke with her. We requested her that she should be our messenger, that she should be our shaliach for the Ethiopian Aliyah. We told her that after her visit, after she witnessed all the sorrows and all the pains of the Ethiopian Jewish community, that she will not return, not as only a mother of two child, but as a mother of all the community also. We asked her, when she sits in Shabbat with her two children, that she should also remember the life and the problem and the challenges of the community. She promised that she would do her best to support and to help this community. And may we meet in Israel soon.
Barre, I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to meet and I thank you for coming on the show. What is your message to the Jewish people in Israel and around the world?
The Ethiopian Aliyah has never been easy. And then we want all the struggle to end now. Because we also will definitely face another struggle when we come and to mingle with the modern world in Israel. We know that Am Israel is one. We love all the Jewish people all over the world. A Jew for another Jew with a brother. And then we ask all the people who are listening to this in Israel and around the world to come and visit our community if possible, but if not, to support us from wherever they are and to listen to our voices and to address this to the government of Israel. We need to be united so that the third temple will be built soon.
A Bara and Dishao from the Jewish community in Addis Ababa who are waiting to come back to the land of Israel. Everyone, we're taking a short commercial break and we will be right back, so don't go away.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
All right, everyone, today we have a very special opportunity. We had two very special guests on tour in the Shomron, Bishop Scott Wanza and his wife Lillian, who spent the entire day with me visiting in the Shomron. Bishop Scott, can you tell us about your experience?
The experience we had in Sharon was quite a very great one, and we really enjoyed the visit. We went to different places. We saw very exciting places and fascinating places. And from the visit, we have learned a lot of things. We've learned about the culture of the children of Israel and how they interact with different people from the societies. We've seen that actually there is a very good interaction between the Jews and the Palestinians. We visited factories, we visited working places where we found Palestinians working in industries which are run by the Jews. And from what we have seen, we found that there is brotherly love, there is embracing one another, and 50% of the workers in these factories are from Palestine. One thing we have learned is that even the wages that they are given, they are not different from the wages that are given to the Israelis or the Jews. They are the same wages. And there's no oppression at all. There's no segregation. There's no racism. There's no apartheid. There is nothing. There's all relationship which we have seen, which is a very good relationship. And actually, this has amazed me so much in our visit, because it is something that we have found that what we hear from the media, international media, on televisions outside Israel, is different from what we have seen today. When we hear about happenings in Israel, many times what is portrayed is the ugly face of things in here: killings, hatred, actually terrorism, which people think that most of the times the children of Israel are the people that are bringing up all these things. But today it was quite a different story that we saw.
Pastor Scott, this morning, we started at Shiloh, and we saw the multi-video presentation at the tower. And then later on, we were at the Shomron Regional Council. We met with Mr. Davidi Ben-Sion, who is the vice chairman. I don't want to spoil the whole day, just speak about some of the things that we saw. And we also visited at a factory, as you mentioned, in Barkan. What were you most impressed by on the visit today?
What I was impressed with in the visit that we had today was actually the relationship, as I already alluded to. We saw the coexistence. And we have realized from this visit that what the children of Israel or what the people from Israel are doing in this land is great, because most of the families that are working in these factories are from Palestine. And from the wages that they are receiving, they are able to feed a lot of Palestinians outside there. So for us, it's a plus. And actually, this is the thing that has made us to think how we can go out into the world and promote and share what actually is happening in Israel.
At some point during the day, we went up to Mount Gerizim. We had lunch at the winery.
Yes.
And we went to the Samaritan neighborhood and visited with the high priest of the Samaritans. What were your feelings?
Very exciting. I was very impressed. Actually, what happened, I didn't expect it, because when we visited the high priest, he was very cordial. He received us and he even pronounced blessings upon us, which was a very great thing that actually we have ever experienced, me and my wife, in this tour.
And then we went to the Joseph's Lookout Point on Mount Gerizim, where we could look and see the tomb of Joseph in Shechem. How did you feel when we stood over the city of Shechem?
What I felt actually was the denial, because accordingly, I would have loved to get to see to the tomb, to get right there. But because of the restrictions, we found that we were not able to do it. But still, it brought us a sense of excitement to see actually that what we read in the Bible is real and true. And we saw the mountain where blessings were being pronounced over the children of Israel, which was phenomenal.
And then we went and visited my wife, Mari, at home. And that was really fun and bonding. I was so glad that we had the opportunity to host you in our home and meet some of our children.
Yeah, I think to sum it up all, it was a very good visit to your house, because we saw, like in Zambia, we believe that hospitality is not only in a hotel, but when you bring a person home, it shows how much you value that person and how much you honor that person. It was a very good thing, and I believe that my wife also was excited about it, that we visited your home. It cements our relationship and brotherhood, and it only shows that there is a lot of love in the heart of the children of Israel.
There is definitely a lot of love, and this is mutual. I am so glad that we had the opportunity to host you in our home, even if it was for a very short visit. But then we went over to the Shomron Regional Council, where we had already visited earlier, because we were able to meet, to introduce you to Mr. Dagan, who is the chairman of the council, and actually present to the entire committee, council of the Shomron Regional Council. What was your main message speaking with the council members?
Well, in the morning when we went to the council offices, we didn't find the head, which is Mr. Dagan, but this afternoon when we went there, we found the head. And according what we saw was also the hospitality, very good hospitality we were received, and they had to interrupt their meeting, the official business meeting. The council had to stand down for just a personal introduction. And when I was introduced, we felt very good. And my message to the council was that we shall support Israel and we shall stand with Israel. And I would like to see to it that there is a relationship between the city of Shomron and the city in Zambia, maybe the city of Lusaka, so that we can have exchange programs, councillors can be coming, and we tie a relationship between these two cities. That is actually what I had to tell the councillors this evening.
Pastor Scott Mwanza, it was such a pleasure to have you in the Shomron, and I'm glad to be able to speak with you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. God bless you, and God bless Israel, and Israel shall stand with you as friends. Africa is there to support you and stand with you shoulder to shoulder. God bless you.
Amen.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, last week I was in Nairobi, Kenya. I was invited to speak at a conference for the Africa-Israel Initiative, which is an organization that was founded by Eric Selle from Norway. Eric was on the show. He was actually also here on tour in the Shomron about a month ago. I led him around, and we visited the Barkan Industrial Park, and visited with the municipality, with Mr. Yossi Dagan, and we saw the realities here on the ground. And Eric told me that he has, over the past 10 years, been in Africa, traveling and bringing many nations together in support for Israel. So he established the Africa-Israel Initiative, of which he was president, founder and president. And he told me that they were having a huge conference in Nairobi in honor of Israel's 70th Independence Day. And he asked me if I would come to Nairobi to speak at that conference. So that was not an easy decision for me to make, because I wish to be with my family at home on the holidays. And Yom HaTzmaut is a day that I ask all of my children to come together to have a family meal in honor of the great events that we have seen, that Hashem has gathered the nation of Israel together and reestablished our sovereign Jewish state in the land of Israel. And we are here in the heartland of Israel, in the Shomron. And there's so much to celebrate, and I wish to do that with my family. So I consulted with Mali, my wife, and she agreed that I should go to speak at this conference, and that the family would have the family event without me. So I flew to Nairobi, and the plan was, as I mentioned earlier, that I would get home for Shabbat, but that didn't work out, and I had another adventure with the Jewish community in Addis Ababa who are waiting to return to Israel. The event in Nairobi was really amazing. It was amazing for me. I am so glad that I went and met with all of the leaders of from the 14 African nations who came together in their support of Israel. I was so honored to be a representative from Israel and to speak about our connection to the land of Israel. And so many of the African leaders who attended the event approached me afterwards, and they thanked me for explaining the issues of Judea and Samaria, which they hear about in the news as the West Bank. And when they realize that the Judea and Samaria is the same location as the West Bank, and this is where all of the biblical events of the Bible occurred, the first place that our father Abraham reached when he followed the calling of God and came to the land and reached Shechem in Elon Moreh, and they heard about the other biblical places, and they immediately became attached to this agenda, and they realized that Judea and Samaria is the core of the land of Israel. And of course, it is the very place that the nation of Israel must be and cannot be considered foreign settlers, because this is the heartland of Israel. So my message was received very well there. There was a great amount of excitement. This week we had the visit with the pastor, with the Bishop Scott Mwanza, who spoke earlier on this segment. And I expect to engage more and more with African leaders who support Israel. Everyone, we're taking a short commercial break, so don't go away. Come right back after the break, because we have a very special treat.
I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
And we are back here in the heartland of Israel. Thank you. I hope that you enjoyed our commercials. Feel free to support the advertisers of Israel News Talk Radio. Keep the station going. The indigenous rights to the land of Israel is something that we are concerned with, and we would like the world to know about and connect with indigenous people around the world and make this claim. Each nation for our heritage and for our land. By connecting with indigenous peoples from other lands and other heritages, we can actually learn more about our own claim to the land of Israel. All right, everyone. Today we have an amazing opportunity to speak with two friends of Israel who are Native Americans. They are chiefs in the First Nations in America, also known as American Indians. But we call them First Nations, and these two wonderful people were my guests in the Shamron on Sunday, and we spent a full day together and saw a lot of really important things. And they were even on TV in Israel on a real important TV station. So, Chiefs, welcome on the show.
Many blessings. David, it was wonderful spending the day, myself, and my wife, Dr. Laurel in Riverwind. It was really an incredible time of connecting with people and hearing the story of the land and the indigenous people of Judea. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you so much. I do need to tell you, although I appreciate the honor you're bestowing upon us, me in particular, I am not a chief. I am merely an ambassador. So just want to make sure everybody out there knows.
Thank you very much. And I would like everyone to know more. So I'd be glad if you would give us a brief background about yourself and where you're from and where you are now and what you do.
Well, my Yukayeke,
which means
Dakamahura, Kasike, my village is from Boriken, which is modern day Puerto Rico. And my people are Arawak Taino Indians. And we're also the tribe of first contact. We're the ones who discovered Columbus wandering lost in the ocean. And incidentally, we are the tribe that first made contact with the Sephardim, who were being expelled from Spain in 1492. So there's a very rich heritage among our people of having this connection with Eretz Israel.
And my people are, I'm a descendant of the Cherokee and the Muscogee, which are also known as the Creek. And I also have mixed ancestry with the European cultures as well. But my office as ambassador is with Joseph's tribe, the Northern Arawak Tribal Nation. And when the clan mothers came to me and said, we would like to, originally they made me the Takina, which is the spokesperson for the nation. I said to them, I don't think I'm qualified for this. I'm not Arawak Taino. And they said, but you are the one we are choosing to speak for us.
And they honored her with the ceremony at the same time as the making of the chief ceremony that was done with me as a war chief. But now I serve as a peace chief.
And now they have promoted me as to the position of ambassador instead of Takina, which was spokesperson.
That is fascinating. And it's fascinating that you are here in Israel, and particularly in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem. And can you explain to the listeners how your work for indigenous peoples connects with the story of the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria?
That is a fascinating one. We have, we can go back to ancient times, tribes that have just very similar, if not identical, spiritual practices, festivals that were practiced, traditions and cultures, customs within the tribes themselves. As a result, there's always this fascination of digging and researching these different similarities between our people. But all that leads to the restoration of the Judean indigenous people of this land to their promised land. I mean, the truth of the matter is there are tribes in the United States that have not been on their homeland as long as the Jewish people have had a presence here in this land. Over 3,000 years of archaeological evidence, you can't bury the truth. And it seems the Creator just continues to bring up things that have been long ago buried that continue to establish the claim and right of the Jewish people to this indigenous homeland. And so fast forward to today, to modern times, we've brought over First Nations people on a tour of Israel. This was last week, and also people from other countries and other nationalities. Just connecting them with Israel, we really feel the connection because of the shared history.
And I guess one thing that's important to say is that as Native people, as indigenous people, it's within our DNA we say that you cannot separate our spirituality from who we are as a people, because our people have always prayed to Creator. And that holds true for many of the tribes throughout the United States. And it's important to mention that we don't speak for all nations. There are many different tribes within the United States, over 500, and each of them have different cultures, different ways, different spiritualities, different customs. But one of the things that we can say most of the tribe do and did pray to Creator. And so there's only one who made the heavens and the earth. And so we when we pray and ask for Creator to show himself to us, we end up hearing many times from Creator. And one of the things that he began drawing us to the Jewish ways of old. And at first we had no idea that there was any kind of connection between the culture and the spirituality of Native ways with Jewish ways. But the more we researched our own cultural ways, for example, in the Cherokee ways, it was written centuries ago by a man called James Adair in a book called Out of the Flame,
which is published by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
And it describes many different customs that were found all throughout scripture in the Torah. Torah practices going on among my people during the 1700s and earlier, before there was the time of missionaries or contact from European or other sources. So when we went on this journey, we were surprised to discover at some point along the line, and that was when Joseph's father passed. When he crossed over, when he died, Joseph inherited some things from his family.
And when I went looking, searching through his things, it had been a year, and I talked with one of the oldest living relatives in my family, who asked, "Hey, have you received the box yet that I sent you of things that belong to her father?" This was my grandmother's sister. And I went looking through this box, and there's black and white pictures of bar mitzvahs and children celebrating Purim, and three sefers published in the 1800s that my great-grandfather used to read on Shabbat.
The story becomes more amazing from second to second, but we are coming, we're coming close to the end of the segment, and I'm seeing that we're going to be needing to speak more and more on the show. So I'm going to get back to you. But I'd like, in a very, very short, coming to the end, we've spoken about a lot of things. And one of the things that we've spoken about are indigenous rights. And sometimes it seems that people in general are pretty ignorant about what it means to have indigenous rights. Some people might think that indigenous people are only like a black people or brown people who hardly have any dressing, or they wear some kind of a traditional headgear, and don't realize how the Jewish people are actually the indigenous nation of the land of Israel. So could you give us some bullet points of what it is, to how you identify a nation as indigenous?
Well, there's the writing that's literally upon the land and within the land. We're constantly hearing of discoveries, archaeological discoveries of names that are in Hebrew, of archaeological sites that are in Hebrew. It's without question that the Jewish people are the indigenous people of this land. We have written history of Emperor Hadrian changing the name of Judea to Palestina, to try to eradicate any race or trace of the Jewish people. There's so much that is indigenous, and even in how it comes about, when your people return back to your homeland, the land is flourishing. And there's also...
There's also a verse, and this to us defines it, and I think this is actually in the Torah Parsha of my birth. It's Deuteronomy 32:8, and it says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel." And so the boundaries are created by Elohim. And that's why scripture says, Torah says, not to move the boundary stone of your neighbor, because, and that's what, the enemies of Israel have been doing for many years, and not only Israel, but, you know, the greed of mankind has moved boundary stones, and those boundary stones are set up by our Elohim. And so when we look at who is indigenous to the land, the question is, who did Creator give that land to? Whoever that is, those are the indigenous people of that land.
And
period.
It's literally written right there in your people's ancient scrolls, which is like an ancient deed to this land. There's so much propaganda going out there trying to remove your identity and take away your indigenous identity, but it just simply can't be done. Anyone with any rational type of thinking can clearly see the evidence that the Jewish people are the indigenous people of this land and have been for thousands of years. And that needs to be respected and honored.
Chief and Dr. Riverwind, I would like to thank you so much for being our friends and being in Israel and being on our show on Hebrew in the Heartland. Everyone, that's the end of the show, but come back next week for Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.